So thank you, Joey. Good morning, everybody. Before I get started on our financial update, I would like to take this opportunity to quickly introduce myself, since this is my first time speaking at Yum China's Investor Conference. So as you have heard from Micky earlier, I joined Yum China in mid-August last year, before the spin-off from Yum Brands. And prior to that, I worked for Ernst & Young, including 5 years as a partner, and the last 2 years as the deputy head for their capital markets group for the whole Asia Pacific region. So, out of my 17 years in the public accounting profession, 10 of those years were based in China, including 5 years in Shanghai and 5 years in Shenzhen. So throughout my professional career, I have had extensive experience working with U.S.-listed company, advising them on SEC reporting and compliance, as well as capital market activities. So I was really excited to have the opportunity to join Yum China last year, but apparently my two kids were even more excited than I was. Because you see, they used to have trouble explaining what my job was, but after I joined Yum China, they simply just tell people I sell pizza and fried chicken. So let's get started on our financial update. As you have heard from Micky and Joey earlier, our theme this year is Stay True, Aim High. So in the first part of my presentation, I'll talk about the core of our business model, how we stay true to our priorities, and how we create value for our shareholders. In the second part of my presentation, I'll talk about what we aim to achieve from a financial perspective. So let's begin with how we stay true to our core. So many people ask me why I decided to join Yum China. So let me start off by summarizing what I think make Yum China unique. So first and foremost, the management team here is one of the best, it's one of the most experienced team of restaurant operators out of the whole China. And because of these exceptional leaders, we are the top restaurant company in China with over 7,700 restaurants, and we have about 80% of which is equity-owned. And for years, 2 to 3 decades, we have been successfully operating two major global brands in KFC and Pizza Hut. And late last year, we were very excited to introduce a third global brand in Taco Bell to China. So another unique strength of Yum China is our nationwide supply chain, which was built from the ground up, and we have been fine-tuning that over the last 30 years. So this is a competitive advantage that is very difficult to replicate in a short period of time. And last but not least, Yum China is a unique investment opportunity for investors because our shareholders get exposure to China growth through a U.S.-listed company with a long history of Western corporate governance. So going forward, we have a very, very clear plan on how to create value for our shareholders. We'll stay true to our four top priorities. First, we'll continue to drive system sales growth by adding net units. Second, we'll continue to focus on growing our same-store sales, which is always our number one priority. And third, we'll aim to keep our restaurant margin as well as G&A costs under control. And finally, we'll be disciplined, but at the same time, we'll be strategic with our capital allocation. So I'll elaborate more on each of these priorities throughout my whole presentation. So let me start with development. So today, we have more than 7,700 restaurants present in over 1,100 cities. And we have committed to opening 550-600 new restaurants on a gross basis this year. So this means, on average, every day, we open about 1.5 restaurants. So on top of that, or the new openings, we continue to upgrade our existing restaurants to refresh our brand image. So since January 2016, we have remodeled over 1,200 restaurants across China. So that's equivalent to remodeling two restaurants a day. So under Angela's leadership, I think we have the largest development team unmatched by any other restaurant company in China. our 1,000 plus team members, they basically cover the whole, every province in China with extremely valuable know-how at the local level. And we have invested heavily in their training so that they are well equipped to operate effectively. And aside from our people capability, local intelligence is also very important. So since many of you are experienced investors in the China market, I believe you agree with me that reliable data is not always readily available. But at Yum China, we have built up our own database with every single one of our site selection decisions, so which we can easily reference to for our future new builds. But despite our large scale, we still take a vigorous bottom-up approach to our development. We evaluate our site selection proposal one by one, and we get inputs from our development team, brand team, finance team to ensure we make informed decisions on every single site development. And also, we actively monitor the performance, the financial performance of our new units. So this creates a cycle of learning that helps us to make better and better decisions on future unit development. Now, moving on to our new unit economics for KFC and Pizza Hut. Our average unit volume is typically higher in the higher tier cities. But at the same time, our operating costs are also higher in the higher tier cities. So net-net, in the end, our cash margin are quite consistent across city tiers. Our average pre-tax cash payback period is about 2 years for KFC and less than 4 years for Pizza Hut casual dining. And for both brands over the years, the size of the restaurants has gone down because of delivery. But cash margin has improved. And also our development team has made a concerted effort to lower the cash investment amount. So this is why we were able to sustain and even improve on the pre-tax cash payback period for both brands. And finding the right locations and maintaining a consistent return profile in China is not an easy feat, because traffic patterns are evolving as new trade zones develop. So how do we manage our return profile? This is where our local experience and scale give us a competitive advantage over our competitors. And I already touched on these aspects on the previous slide. So I want to give you some background in terms of how we define our city tiers. So we classify China into 6 tiers, based primarily on the size of the population and the affordability of our brands. The tier one cities are the well-known the regional centers, but the tier 5 and 6 cities are the county level townships that have been urbanized not long ago. So our geographical mix is gradually shifting from tier one to the lower tier cities, but we will continue to invest in tier one because there continues to be opportunities when new trade zones and transportation infrastructure are built. And for the lower tier cities, we see even more room for development in the future. So many people have asked us whether we would be consider switching to a franchise-led model like our peers in the US. Our response to that is, we'll continue to drive growth by building mostly equity-owned stores. This is the right model for Yum China, because we believe China continues to be an extremely attractive market for capital investment. And I also believe that our equity store model represents how strong our management capability is, our commitment to quality, and also our financial strength. So we will continue to capitalize on the fantastic growth opportunities in China. So let's take a look at Yum China's leading position in China's restaurant industry. So KFC has a 2-to-1 lead over its nearest competitors in terms of store count. And Pizza Hut has almost 5 times as many stores as its nearest competitor. And because of our development capability, we believe we are able to enter into new markets way ahead of our competitors. And also we are able to open multiple formats across different brands, city tiers, and trade zones. Our supply chain is another key capability that allows us to stay so much ahead of our competitors. And you'll hear more about this from Danny, our Chief Supply Chain Officer, later this afternoon. So in terms of how many more units we can add to our system in the future in China, you have already heard about this from Mickey earlier. We believe we still have a long runway for growth in China because of our penetration rate and also the macro environment here in China. So our current restaurant penetration rate is about 5 restaurants per million people. So that compares to about 55 to 60 restaurants per million people in the US and about 25 to 30 restaurants per million people in other Asian countries. So even at a modest penetration rate of 15 restaurants per million people, we still have room to grow our store count by about 3 times to over 20,000 restaurants. So one thing that China is experiencing right now is an unprecedented rate of urbanization. China's urban population is already bigger than the whole, the entire population in the US, and it is still growing. So we believe China continues to present a great opportunity for unit development, and will continue to capture these opportunities with discipline and focus. Now, moving on to same-store sales growth. We have recently reported on the 3rd consecutive quarter of increasing same-store sales growth for Yum China and for KFC. The trend is very encouraging. We are definitely moving in the right direction. And for Pizza Hut, same-store sales growth was actually positive for all 3 quarters in 2017. But we'll continue to invest in upgrading the products and services at Pizza Hut restaurants, which may create some pressure on our margins and operating profit over the next few quarters. But we believe this is the right thing to do for the long-term health of the brand. We believe Pizza Hut still has great potential in the casual dining category in China. Now, let's take a look at how we plan to drive same-store sales growth. Since most of our restaurants are equity-owned, so we must focus on driving transaction and same-store sales to achieve sales leverage. On traffic growth, we use a combination of product innovation as well as marketing campaigns to attract customers. This year, we have launched over 70 new products across our brands. And we are already planning on our new product calendar for 2018. And we believe they will be just as exciting as this year's. And our view on marketing is that we do not want to be overly promotional. Because we think that excessive discount on our core products will eventually compromise our margin and brand value. So instead, we want to attract customers by giving them great value offers. So this is how we define it. It's a 5-star dining experience at a 3-star price. So these value offers really help us build traffic across our day parts this year. So let me give you an example. I'm sure most of you have looked at the Arabica commercial videos earlier. So we launched this high-quality coffee brand, coffee product, and we aim to offer this product basically to all of our stores in the future. But for 20 RMB, you get 16 ounces, or about 468 milliliters of very high-quality coffee. This is freshly brewed latte. The price is extremely competitive in the market. And in fact, our coffee business has expanded so rapidly, I believe we are now one of the leaders in the coffee category in China, based on the number of cups sold. So on digital and delivery, you have already heard from Joey earlier, this is a powerful tool to drive same-store sales. And also, our loyalty customer program gives us a great source to gain insights into our consumption behavior, or into the consumption behavior of our customers. And we will harness the information and data to create incremental sales in the future. Now, let's take a look at our restaurant margin. In the second half of 2016 and the first half of 2017, there was a positive impact from the retail tax structure reform, or the VAT reform in China. But this is no longer a tailwind since quarter three this year. So going forward, we have to focus on system sales, cost control, as well as productivity initiatives to improve our margins. The single biggest driver of our margin improvement is transaction leverage as we drive same-store sales growth. And we have already touched on this extensively on the previous slide. The second most important factor is inflation. Whether we can keep our restaurant margins stable depends on our ability to offset inflation through pricing and also productivity gain. As a general rule of thumb, we will look to price out inflation. And when we decide on the timing and magnitude of our pricing actions, we will take into account the momentum of our same-store sales growth, the consumer sentiment, as well as the general macro environment in China. So for example, in the first half of this year, food and commodity inflation was about 4%, but we took minimal pricing. The reason was we wanted to return the value to our customers and to create core value for our brands. And our supply team our supply chain teams also work extremely hard with our suppliers to negotiate price and to identify cost-saving opportunities whenever possible. So I think our procurement strategy is one of the best, if not the best, here in China. And also, I believe as we continue to grow in scale, we'll achieve bargaining power. Our bargaining power will increase as well. And finally, on labor efficiency. Depending on the momentum of our same-store sales growth, there are potential opportunities around productivity initiatives, particularly on operating efficiency. Wage increase is an inevitable nature or reality in our business. So we have to adjust the salary of our restaurant crew based on the minimum wage requirements set by the government. But what we can do is we can work on scheduling to help our staff work more efficiently. And you have already seen some of the in-store technologies in Joey's presentation earlier. For example, like pre-order, the mobile payment, face-to-pay, et cetera. So these technologies are tools that help us reduce the workload on our staff and also help to speed up our services. And we are absolutely committed to improving our labor efficiency without compromising on the quality of our product or service. Now let's talk about G&A. We are currently in our first full year as a public company listed in the US. So we incur additional G&A costs to support our governance, reporting, and compliance requirements. For 2017, we expect G&A increase will be about low teens percentage year on year in local currency. But this sets the new base of our public company G&A costs going forward. So as management, we'll actively manage the increase of our G&A costs. And we are working across functions to analyze and also enhance and optimize our G&A cost structure. We are committed to identifying G&A cost opportunities whenever possible. So let me give you an example. We set up a shared service center in Wuhan, where some of our back office and also the more routine processes are located. The labor cost in Wuhan is much lower than the labor cost here in Shanghai. But yet, Wuhan has over 40 universities. So there's a pool of very well-educated young talents that we can recruit from. And we are always looking for ways to do things better here at Yum China. This is a very well-established culture here. But in the longer term, our goal is to keep the increase of G&A below our revenue growth. So this will be our aspiration going forward. So one of the most powerful aspects of Yum China's business model is our capability to generate substantial cash flow and the fact that our balance sheet has zero debt. Between 2014 and 2016, our free cash flow actually grew at a CAGR of 26%. And in the first 8 months in 2017, we have generated close to $1 billion of cash from our operations. As a restaurant company that operates mainly equity-owned stores, I think this is quite an achievement. And also at the end of August, we have almost $1.6 billion in cash and short-term investments. So you all know we generate enough capital to reinvest into our core business and also support our new unit development. But we also have extra cash to return to our shareholders. And so far in 2017, share buyback has been the primary method we use to return capital to our shareholders. Our board of directors authorized us to buy back shares at about $550 million. And by the end of August, we have executed 128 million. And also, this quarter, we declare our initial quarterly dividend at 10 cents per share for a total of 39 million. And last but not least, I think most of you have already heard about this presentation yesterday from Sunny. Back in May, we acquired Daojia for strategic reasons. So as a public company that is not even 1 year old, we have successfully executed on all three aspects of our capital allocation plan. And most importantly, we deliver on our promises to our shareholders. So we are very confident in the long term in our cash flow generation capability and also in the strength of our core business. And for 2018, and we'll, as you have heard from Joey and Mickey earlier, we'll continue to invest into our core business. This is our top priority. But we have existing authorization under our share buyback plan. So we aim to buy back more shares in the most opportunistic and cost-effective manner. And also, we aim to pay higher dividends on a per share basis, subject to our capital needs. So finally, we'll implement various strategic growth initiatives that leverage on our core business and our unique strength in China. And the focus will be here in China, as you heard from Mickey earlier. Now, I would like to share with you what we aim to achieve from a financial perspective. So to recap, our ongoing financial targets are high single-digit system sales growth, a long-term restaurant margin of 17%, and also double-digit operating profit growth, XFX. And over the last two or three quarters since we have become a public company, we have been encouraging our investors to focus more on our long-term operating profit growth. Although year on year, this is never predictable. So there may be a year here or there that we may miss the long-term target. But in the long term, we are confident that Yum China will achieve double-digit operating profit growth. So over the next couple of years, we'll encourage you to focus more on our overall operating profit instead of our EPS. The reason why you should focus on operating profit growth instead of EPS growth is because there are multiple factors that cause volatility to our EPS. So let's take 2017 as an example. There are two factors that cause significant volatilities to our EPS growth. The first factor is our effective tax rate. Well, our current effective tax rate comprises two components. The first component is the China corporate income tax rate, which is 25%. And the second component is the 10% withholding tax whenever we repatriate cash out of China. So the more cash we repatriate, the higher the effective tax rate will be. And the impact on our annual effective tax rate depends on our plan on the amount of cash we plan to repatriate in a given year. And as you can see on this slide, for the first 8 months, our effective tax rate was already higher than the effective tax rate for the same period last year. But for the full year, we expect our effective tax rate to be no higher than 30%. The second factor that's caused significant volatility to our EPS growth this year was our diluted share count. So if you look at our diluted share count at the end of August this year versus our diluted share count at the end of August last year, that was a 9% increase. It was mainly due to the common shares as well as the warrants we issued to our strategic investors upon spin-off on November 1st, 2016. Also, some of the share-based awards we granted to Yum Brands employees earlier that were carried forward after the spin-off, as well as share-based awards we issued to our own employees. So going forward, as the share price increases, the dilutive impact from the warrants and the share-based awards will also increase, which will lower our EPS growth. But however, our buyback program will offset some of these dilution impact. So this concludes my presentation for today. Thank you.